Father, we just thank you and we praise you and we give you all honor and all glory. We thank you, Father God, that you're in our midst, that your angelic hosts are here and your Holy Spirit is here. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, that sits at your right hand, ever interceding for your body. Father, we just thank you that you are working in this pandemic, and we thank you, Father God, that you are bringing it to an end, and Father, that you're placing everything back in order, maybe not like it used to be, but in order anyway, the way you want it to be. And Father God, I thank you that the people who are walking in fear have found out that fear has no place in their walk with you. And I thank you, Father God, that we're walking forth in full revelation knowledge that you are in total and complete control of all things in our lives, no matter what that thing is. And tonight, we just want to thank you, Father, for coming down, supping with us, and giving us fresh manna from heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to speak about gifts, miracles, wonders. And I entitled this, Why Manifestations? And what do they mean? Now, the Holy Spirit always wants to demonstrate what God says. God did give a prophetic word about this, but I put it in the back instead of the front, so I don't want to get read all confused back there, so we'll just read it when we get there. All right, the Holy Spirit always wants to demonstrate what God says. In Mark 16:20, God confirmed the word with signs following. So in other words, we need to be preaching the word. And when you preach the word, then God will confirm the word with signs following. And in Hebrews 2:3-4, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts, of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. See, you are so engrossed in building your own kingdom that you don't even know what you should be doing. You shouldn't be building your own kingdom. You should be preaching the word, talking the word, and then God will bring the signs and wonders. And everybody's been wondering why we aren't seeing signs and wonders. It's because you're not speaking and teaching the word. All right? So let's read that again, Hebrews 2:3-4. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? To him is Jesus. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. There is no question that God wants to do signs and wonders and confirm his own word. Now, I know quite a few years back, maybe 10 or so, God spoke to me and said he is taking the Holy Spirit out of the churches. He's doing away with healing because the people were trampling all over his signs, wonders, and miracles. And he took us to the back side of the desert to where we really now want to see signs, wonders, and miracles. We're sick and tired of the mundane, I hope, right? There are some Christians that say, I don't need signs and wonders, and we hear that all over. Jesus actually relied on signs and wonders and manifestations. He went out of the way to make sure the Holy Spirit had an opportunity to demonstrate the words he spoke. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and fed the 5,000. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he raised the dead. He said, I am the light of the world, and he opened the eyes of the blind. All right? So God says we're supposed to be the light of the world, right? So why aren't we opening up blind eyes? I want you to really think about this tonight. God always wants to do what he says. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, I came not to you in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. Every time you open up a women's aglow, it shouldn't be by word only, but it should be demonstration of the power of God at work. Are you listening here? We need to understand that God talks to us in various ways. He talks through the Bible, which contains the Word of God. He talks to us through the Holy Spirit, who brings us life. A lot of people say the Bible was hard to read until the Holy Spirit showed up and made it come alive. In other words, when you sit down and read the Bible, you should invite the Holy Spirit into your time of reading the Word and ask Him to open up the Word to you. Then the Holy Spirit started to speak through preachers and prophets. Remember when Jesus was answering Satan, He said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So for you who can't fast, you're trying to live by food, and what you should do is get into the Word and live by the Word, and then go through your fast. This is important. You don't just take any scripture and use it. You have to discern what God is saying to you now, today. That is why signs and wonders are important. They are a part of what God does and says, and we should pay attention to the manifestation of the Holy Spirit because God is talking to you. We held a meeting one time, and I called it a miracle meeting, and people packed out the place. And somebody said this. I was walking. They had chairs down there, and I was walking down there, and somebody said, "Why are you here?" They said, "Well, anybody that's brave enough to write that they're going to have miracles in their service, I want to go and see what's going on." Now, God did do miracles, but not the way the man expected it. So he said, "Well, see, I knew it. Disappointed again." But people think of miracles in just one avenue, and God performs a miracle in many different ways. Okay? Years ago, well-meaning churches would preach the gospel message of salvation every Sunday night. So every Sunday night you got the salvation message. And even though the congregation of 50 had been saved for 20 years at least, and even though it was in the Bible, it wasn't a preceding word to those people. They didn't stop to listen to what God was saying today. If they had been listening, that would have moved them to the next place God had for them. In other words, they were always getting salvation when God wanted them to move on and go to a higher realm. Well, instead, they stayed where they were and froze in time. I've told God I'm sick and tired of teaching the same message to the same people. I want the people to either change or give me new faces, right? You get tired of teaching the same message over and over and over again, and everybody becomes stagnant and stale, and nobody moves on, and God wants us to move on, right? When God is moving by His Spirit, it is in order to demonstrate something or tell you something. The signs and wonders are not meant to entertain us. We should take note and listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying. Many people are smelling the different aromas of God, and each aroma is God speaking to you. Many people have dreams and visions of different flowers, trees, and colors, and so on. But in all those things, God is talking. I remember years ago when people tell you, pay attention to the different colors that are in your dream. For example, aroma of strawberries means friendship with God. Apples, the beloved's breath smells like sweet apples. Jesus is breathing on you. Peppermint is refreshing, and so on. Signs. If you preach healing, the Holy Spirit will heal people because He will demonstrate the Word. You're seeing that? If you preach healing, the Holy Spirit will heal people because He will demonstrate the Word. Sometimes the anointing comes on someone and God uses them for a sign to say something. Now, before we go into these testimonies of other people, you know, one of the things that happened in our church, you know, early on was this person came in and said, "This isn't God doing this." And God plastered him to the wall for the whole time we had the service. They could not move. And when the service was over and they dropped to the floor, they said, "I believe." This was a preacher. Then one other time, somebody got drastically saved overnight, and they brought the person to the church. He got saved, and you know, and they had talent, and God started using them. And one night we was in prayer meeting, God told me to have this girl sit in a chair and touch the people. She went around. Well, somebody who'd been in the way a long time said, "This can't be God using her. After all, she just got saved." And so when she went around and the girl laid hands on her, God bent her clear over backwards. And she stayed that way for the rest of the service. She never again mocked the Holy Spirit. So that's just too many, many things happen, but that's just two things I want you to know. This is what we're talking about here tonight. All right, let's look at some testimonies. One time when my husband, I just found these. One time when my husband David was ministering in Florida, the Holy Spirit was moving on people at the end of the meeting. One man was on the floor unable to move for a long time. He kept trying to get up. I saw an angel sitting on the man's chest. I said to him, God won't let you up until you listen to what he says. After a while, he did listen, and then the angel got up, and then the man got up too, a bit shaken. He told me later that he thought the power of his mind was as strong as the power of God. He said, well, I don't think, and then she says, well, I don't think he thought that again. Now, in the same meeting, a lady started running backwards. She ran backwards around the church, then she ran backwards out of the door and across the parking lot. The elders very wisely decided to wait on God the next morning to find out what he was saying by her running backwards. God spoke to them and said, you are not going forward in this move until you go back for the children. The church had David come and bring all the children and youth into the revival and into the anointing. Then the whole church moved on in the move of the Spirit. She's in the next thing. And she said, I got up to speak at a church a while ago. When I opened my mouth to speak, it was as if my lips were glued together. I was not able to open my mouth. The Lord spoke to me and said, my lips are sealed. We waited, but then someone jumped up and took an offering, so we didn't wait to see what the Lord said by not speaking. See what she said? See, somebody jumped up and broke the anointing. Because after all, we have to move on. We just can't stand there and watch her just stand there and say nothing. I forgot what preacher it was. When he opened up his services, he was set right there on the floor, put a paper bag or box over his head, and he said, we're not doing anything until the Holy Spirit shows up. And he was just sitting waiting for the Holy Spirit to show up. When the Holy Spirit showed up, they took the bag or a box off his head, and the God really moved. Now, you couldn't do that with you guys. You all think God's nuts, and you walk out or lay on the floor and go to sleep. So you don't understand what God does. All right, she says, sometimes when I'm preaching, my arm or hand gets stuck. I have to wait until we get it before we can move on in the meeting. Tonight, while I was speaking in the Gold Coast, Australian, my left hand got stuck. My arm was slightly raised and my hand was turned downwards. It stayed like that for a couple of minutes while we waited to see what it was all about. They waited. Then my hand felt like it was resting on the head of a small boy. I could feel his hair under my hand. I remember how Jesus blessed the children. In the original translation, it means he laid hands on them to anoint them. The children are anointed too. They have the same Holy Spirit as any adult. Then she said, a pastor friend of mine in the Midwest once got frozen in the Spirit in the front of a Denny's restaurant. She was putting her wallet back in her purse, and the Holy Spirit came on her. She got frozen with her hands halfway in her purse. From past experience, I know that can be 5 minutes or 5 hours, so I stood by and waited. People came out of the restaurant to pay their bill and saw her. They asked me, what is she doing? And I told them she was talking to God. Well, my friend stayed like that for 55 minutes, and by that time, a little crowd had gathered by the seat at the front of Denny's restaurant. Eventually, the anointing lifted and she came back, so to speak. She noticed a crowd, about 15 people by then. I told her they had been there for 55 minutes, so she went over and started ministering to them. She got a couple of people healed and some saved, and she prophesied over a few. She became a sign that made them sit there for an hour and wonder. She became a sign that made the people sit there for 55 minutes and wonder what was going on. So sometimes you get to be the sign and wonder that God is talking. Listen and watch. Don't let things pass you by. God doesn't always speak to speak. He speaks through signs and wonders and various gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now let's talk about the miracles associated with Peter in Acts chapter 5, verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things, that he sold his land, but told him he only sold it for so much, so he lied to the Holy Spirit, and because he lied to the Holy Spirit, he dropped dead. I told God, please bring that back in the house of God. I have. Ask Christopher. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. So my wives, you need to keep up with your husbands. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. See, she didn't check with her husband what was going on. So she lied too to the Holy Spirit. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. So because of these two people dropping dead, the people then decided they better believe in the Holy Spirit and God could perform great and mighty miracles. All right, Acts 5:15. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches. Then at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. In other words, Peter's shadow healed the people, and then he also prayed for them. But this is what I say, are you living so close to God that just your shadow will heal people? Just you walking by someone, people will be healed. And that's what used to happen in here. Because I used to walk around and as I was ministering. And people would be healed sitting in their seats. Just because God walked by. So if you want to see the signs, wonders, and miracles that God has promised us, you're going to have to be walking closer to the fire than what you already are. You're going to have to be doing the things God's calling you to do. All right, Acts chapter 9, verse 33. There he found a certain man named Ananias who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Ananias, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. So all Peter did was walk in there and say, you're healed. And the guy was healed. In Acts 9:39, then Peter rose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with him. Now Dorcas was a woman that everybody really loved, and she died. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive, and it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. See, Peter got all the doubt and unbelief out of the room, and then he prayed for her. And sometimes that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to get everybody out of the room except yourself so you can pray for somebody. So what happens? And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. Just because one person was raised from the dead. We need to understand the lateness of the hour. God is once again taking the gospel to the Gentiles because the church has rejected him. And God is sending us to the Gentiles, and this is what we are to do. In Mark 16:14. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Kenneth Hagin used to go out and preach to the cabbage heads. He practiced his preaching on the cabbage heads, so he followed his guideline, right? He who believes and is baptized, Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's what we're supposed to be doing, but we're not. We're too busy out there arguing about things, talking about the virus and everything else, but we're not talking about God and his healing powers. Verse 19 said, so then Peter, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. After Jesus went to heaven, the disciples went out and did exactly what God told them to do, and signs and wonders followed their preaching. See, if we would really do what God's telling us to do and walk close to the fire and really get ourselves intimate with the Father, we wouldn't have to be conjuring up things. We would just be going out there preaching the word, and signs and wonders would always follow. All right? You know, God said he wants to heal people in your workplace, you're in the marketplace, in your homes, in your businesses. Is he able to do that with you? Is he able to use you as a sign and a wonder? Is there enough anointing flowing off of you that no matter who walks by you, they'll be healed? You know, when all this was happening to me, I was ignorant of what was going on because nobody taught me. But I've told you, I'd be walking in grocery stores and people say, what did you do to me? And I would say nothing because I was scared. You know, I mean, I didn't do nothing, just walked by them. They said, no, you touched me. I said, no, I really didn't touch you. Well, I'm healed. It wasn't me that touched them. It wasn't me that healed them. There was enough a power of God, anointing of God in me that when I walked by them and they were sick, they got healed. This is where God is taking the church to right now in this given hour. I was going to teach on angels, but I couldn't get it together, so God told me this. He wants to work great signs, wonders, and miracles through the church, but the church is not ready to be used. And the reason why you're not ready to be used is you're still walking in offense. You're still too busy worrying about people who are doing or saying to you. You're still too busy worrying who's first and who's last. And God can't use you. Your mind has to be stayed on Christ. Acts 26:14 says, and when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And then Jesus said, but rise and stand on your feet. For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. He said to Saul, I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Each one of you that are listening here tonight, God has a plan and a purpose for you. And that is why he called you. But have you yielded to that plan and that purpose? Or instead of wanting God to keep using you when you're not ready, you should be seeking God's face more clearly and have more understanding of what God is doing around about you so that God can use you. I'm hearing God say, when you lose yourself, then you'll find me. When you forget about you and just want God to be in total and complete control, then you'll find him. All right, this is a prophetic word that God started out with, but I put it at the end here. This is God speaking. My children, I want to use you to do unusual manifestations of my glory. I do not want to do the mundane, everyday miracles. I want to do the unusual. Are you ready for me to use your vessels to do these great exploits? Does not my word tell you that you will do greater works than my son Jesus of Nazareth did? Well, today is a day to watch me do these greater works through you. There are great and mighty events that I so desire to do at this given time. There are so many miracles that I desire to do through you. As your faith reaches the heavenlies and your eyes are steadfast upon me and the mighty exploits that I desire to do, you will be that conduit that I can work through in this given dispensation of time. Let's read that again. There are great and mighty events that I so desire to do at this given time. There are so many miracles that I desire to do through you. As your faith reaches the heavenlies and your eyes are steadfast upon me and the mighty exploits that I desire to do, as you get your eyes fixed just what Jesus said here, then he says, you will be that conduit that I can work through in this given dispensation of time. There's too much world in the body of Christ, in the believers in the body of Christ. And unless God can get the world out of you, God is not going to be able to use you. Then God goes on, Jesus went on to say, I has not seen nor ear heard of the marvelous events that are going to occur all around this world as you step out in faith and allow me to accomplish my miracle through you. You know, instead of you going, all right, I'll just use you, Barbara, instead of you going to a GLOW meeting with thoughts in your mind, what am I going to say, how are we going to conduct it, your mind should be on Christ and him alone. God, I'm your vessel. And when I go there, I need you to be there and I need you to talk. I need you to do what you want to do, not what I've already preconceived that I want to do. You know, whenever I was going out on the road and I was preaching and everything, I just, God said, you don't need a message, but I always had to have a message. I'm just that type of person. And God said, I'm going to do the works. You just be the vessel. And I would go and lay my little message up there, and I'd stand up there, and then God would have me step down, and then he would say what he wanted to say, and then he would do great signs, wonders, and miracles. So see, it's not us. We're just the vessel. It is what God wants to accomplish, because he knows who's going to be there. He knows what he knows what each and every one of you in this room need. And he doesn't need me to come in with a preconceived message, because my message is not going to reach you, but his will. Now, God is trying to train you all tonight, because he really does want to use you. Now, Nancy, you're there at the pharmacy, and when somebody walks up for their medicine, they should go out in the spirit and be healed while they're laying there and not need that medicine, because the power of God is so strong in you that the anointing would flow into them and just have them be slain in the spirit. I mean, this is the truth. This is the truth. Even when you're talking to somebody over the phone, the anointing should be so strong that, you know, the Holy Spirit witnesses you and witness the other people. You both could be shouting hallelujah, because the anointing is so strong in you that it goes through the airwaves. A lot of people come in here because they've heard a message, and when they listen to the message, the anointing comes off of the message, and they want to come and see what's going on. And this is how it should be with each one of you. Instead of you sitting around, you know, messing up, you should be getting closer and closer to God and allow him to work through you so you can be a sign and a wonder. And I've told this before. I'm going to tell it again about the pastor who always wanted to dance in the spirit, but never could. Couldn't even speak in tongues. And I was just like you, just sitting in my chair. And the pastor was up here preaching her message. And this man came in and walked past me. And he just started yelling and speaking in tongues and danced all over the building. And he said, when I went by Sister Barbara, something hit me. And I started dancing and speaking in tongues. What was the something that hit him? It was anointing that flowed out of me. I didn't know the man was wanting to speak, what dance. I couldn't do anything about it anyhow, you know. Are you here? Just like it used to be that when I'd wear real high heels, and God, every service, God would make me dance in the spirit. I'd say, please, God, not tonight. But he'd just take me over. I'd just dance over the place in the spirit. And then just as quick as he started, he'd quit. Then I go on teaching. This is how you have to walk, and you have to walk with God. But a lot of you aren't. You're too concerned about yourself. What your prayer should be is, God, I just thank you that you chose me to work through. And be humbled by that. Because he said he used a stone, didn't he? He said the rocks would cry out. He didn't need to use you, dinghy. He can use it, go out there and get a stone. He could use a stone down here. Do you know that somebody has tried to curse this stone? I was sitting there one day, and my eyes were drawn to that stone. I said, God, why do you keep drawing my eyes to that stone? He said, somebody's tried to curse it, but they can't curse what I've blessed. Now, that is sad. That is truly sad. All right, let's talk about unusual manifestations. Joshua chapter 10, verse 11. As they ran from the people of Israel down from Beth Horon Ridge and all the way to Azek, God pitched huge stones on them out of the sky, and many died. More died from the hailstones than the people of Israel killed with a sword. God threw huge stones down on the sword enemy and killed them. All right, in verse 12 says, the day God gave the Amorites up to Israel, Joshua spoke to God. Now listen to this. Joshua spoke to God with all Israel listening. Joshua said, he was talking to God, stop sun over Gibeon, halt moon over Ajan Valley. And sun stopped, moon stood stock still until he defeated his enemies. You can find this written in the book of Asher. The sun stopped in his tracks in mid-sky, just sat there all day because Joshua spoke to God and told him to do it. There's never been a day like that before or since. God took orders from a human voice. This is in verse 14. Truly God fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned all Israel with him to the camp of Gilgal. Because one man walked so close to God that God listened to what he said and he did It. Come on, I've been there, I've done that. Remember, I've told you that. God says, I can't. She's down there praying. And he opened up heaven and allowed the man to look down at me by his bed praying. He did not want to come back, but God said, you have to go back because she's praying. God wants to do the very same thing today he was doing then. Are you a vessel that he can work through? Have you given up your life and picked up your cross? Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And then this happened. Elijah the Tishbite from among the settlers of Gilead confronted Ahab. As surely as God lives, the God of Israel, before whom I stand in obedient service, what did he say? As surely as God lives, the God of Israel, before whom I stand in obedient service. He was obedient to God. The next years are going to see a total drought. Not a drop of dew or rain unless I say otherwise. God then told Elijah, get out of here and fast. Head east and hide out at the Kirith Ravine on the other side of the Jordan River. After he proclaimed a 3-year drought, and God said, get running. God told him, you can drink fresh water from the brook. I've ordered the ravens to feed you. Elijah obeyed God's orders. He went and camped in the Kirith Canyon on the other side of the Jordan. Now, let's stop here. Did not God tell us that during anything going on that he would keep us? He said we didn't have to worry about food because he would feed us. And what did God do to Elijah? He said, I've ordered the ravens to feed you. Elijah obeyed God's orders. He went and camped. See, he obeyed what God told him to do. Didn't question God. He just went. And verse 6 says, and sure enough, ravens brought him his meals, both breakfast and supper. I would like to have seen that. And he drank from the brook. Eventually, the brook dried up because of the drought. Then God spoke to him, get up and go to Zarephath in Sidon and live there. Look what he did. I've instructed a woman who lives there, a widow, to feed you. So he got up and went to Zarephath. As he came to the entrance of the village, he met a woman, a widow of the village. He met a woman, a widow, gathering firewood. And he asked her, please, would you bring me a little water in a jug? I need a drink. As she went to get it, he called out, and while you're at it, would you bring me something to eat? There was a drought and a famine going on, right? She said, I swear, as surely as your God lives, I don't have so much as a biscuit. I have a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a bottle. Excuse me. You found me scratching together just enough firewood to make a last meal for my son and me. After we eat it, we'll die. And Elijah said to her, don't worry about a thing. Go ahead and do what you've said. But first, make a small biscuit for me and bring it back here. Then go ahead and make a meal from what's left for you and your son. This is the word of the God of Israel. And this is what God had said. The jar of flour will not run out, and the bottle of oil will not become empty before God sends rain on the land and ends this drought. See, if you would take care of God's servant, God would take care of you. But you're too worried about taking care of yourself, right? And you say God's servant can just fend for herself. But he told this woman, you take care of me and God's going to take care of you. Isn't that what it said here? So verse 15, and she went right off and did just as Elijah asked, and it turned out as he said, daily food for her and her family. The jar of meal didn't run out, and the bottle of oil didn't become empty. God's promise fulfilled to the letter, exactly as Elijah had delivered it. And let's stop there and see, God told him, you go here, and I have somebody there already prepared to feed you. So he went, trusting God that he would feed him. Verse 17 says, later on, the woman's son became sick. The sickness took a turn for the worse, and then he stopped breathing. The woman said to Elijah, why did you ever show up here in the first place, a holy man barging in, exposing my sins and killing my son? Elijah said, hand me your son. He then took him from her bosom, carried him up to the loft where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he prayed, O God, my God, why have you brought this terrible thing on this widow who has opened her home to me? Why have you killed her son? 3 times he stretched himself out full length on the boy, praying with all his might, God, my God, put breath back into this boy's body. God listened to Elijah's prayer and put breath back into his body. He was alive. Elijah picked the boy up, carried him downstairs from the loft, and gave him to his mother. Here's your son, said Elijah, alive. The woman said to Elijah, I see it all now. You are a holy man. When you speak, God speaks a true word. Can people say that about you? Can you lay yourself on somebody's dead and speak life into them? Think about this. You who think you are so much, I think you're so little. You aren't near as high and mighty as what you think you are. Because if you were, you would be doing great signs, wonders, and miracles. This message is to make you think, because God's getting ready to move. And he wants to do, what was it? Greater exploits, is that what he called it? Unusual. He doesn't want to do the mundane things. He said he wants to do something unusual. And I would think making the sun stop would be unusual. I mean, there's a whole lot of unusual things God could do, in which he already does do them. But are you a vessel that he can work through to accomplish them? That's what he wants you to think about tonight. Are you a vessel that he can work through? Are you so committed to him, and are you living a holy life where God can use you to do unusual manifestations? See, because people are going to be watching you, and they are watching you. And they're going to know whether you're true or you're false. I mean, we have seen over the years, have we not, many false prophets. We've seen many preachers come up and pretend things that are done that aren't even done. And God's done, he has done away with all that. And so the only way you're going to be used by God is if you're walking a true, holy life, totally and completely committed to him. Exodus chapter 9, verse 22. God said to Moses, stretch your hands to the skies. Signal the hail to fall all over Egypt on people and animals and crops exposed in the fields of Egypt. See, he told Moses to do this. He could have done it, but he told Moses to do it. Moses lifted his staff to the skies, and God sent peals of thunder and hail shot through with lightning strikes. God rained hail down on the land of Egypt. The hail came, hail and lightning, a fierce hailstorm. There had been nothing like it in Egypt in its entire history. Unusual manifestation. The hail hit hard all over Egypt. Everything exposed out in the fields, people and animals and crops, was smashed. Even the trees in the fields were shattered. Except for Goshen, where the Israelites lived, there was no hail in Goshen. There was godly people living in Goshen, and God spared it. But who did God, you know, God used Moses to do this. Moses was walking close to God. God could have done this with the angels. He didn't need Moses. But he used a human vessel yielded to him to do this feat. Now, we don't want to be used to kill people. All right? All right, 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 9. The king sent a captain with 50 men to Elijah. Meanwhile, Elijah was sitting, big as life, on top of a hill. The captain said, O holy man, king's orders, come down. Elijah answered the captain of the 50, If it's true that I'm a holy man, lightning strike you and your 50 men. Out of the blue, lightning struck and incinerated the captain and his 50. The king sent another captain with his 50 men. O holy man, king's orders, come down. And right now. Elijah answered, If it's true that I'm a holy man, lightning strike you and your 50 men. Immediately a divine lightning bolt struck and incinerated the captain and his 50. Then if you read further, it says, And then he was sending 50 more men. But he said, Please don't kill them. Listen, you can read the rest. Please don't kill them. Listen to what I have to say. So, are you another Elijah? That you can just speak a word and God does it. One time I said, God, strike him dead. And I said, no, please don't do that, God. Please don't hear that prayer. It was with my husband. He made me mad. He was being smart and arrogant. I said, just strike him dead, Lord. Then I said, no, I didn't mean that. And then he's, oh, look at the godly woman here. Want me struck dead. What can God do through you? And don't lie to yourself. What can God do through you? That's his question to you tonight. Are you living the type of life where I can do the unusual manifestations? Are you living such a life that I can move through you at any place, at any given time, and people will be saved, healed, delivered? Aaron's on, he delivers mail. At any given time, when he had put somebody's mail in the mailbox, the anointing could be so strong that when they went to get their mail, that they would go out in the spirit. When they got come to, they'd be saved because they didn't want no more lightning striking them. But that doesn't happen. When he puts the mail in the mailbox, it's just a letter, the same as he got in his hand. Right? All right, let's just say, is Adam so anointed when he blows a shofar, be so much anointing coming out of shofar that every one of us be slain in the spirit? I don't see that happening. I'm just trying to get you people to think. And, you know, if you blew the if you had so much anointing when you blew the shofar, if there was a demon in your manifesting somebody else, it would run out the door. It would not feel comfortable in here. Are you seeing this? You know, I've been going through a spell where I thought, you know, I was thinking God was finished with me, and One of my kids brought somebody in the house the other night, and they said, I got to leave. I can't stay around her. I got to get her. Get me out of here, quick. Where's the door? And see, they had a demon, and that demon couldn't stand to be in my presence, so it left. So I thought, thank you, God, for showing me. There's still something left there. I mean, come on, I'm human, too. I'm just like you, you know? So, and God said to me the other night, I'm waiting on you, daughter. So now I got to find out what he's waiting on. But anyhow, it's time for signs, wonders, and miracles to be occurring in the body of Christ once again, because that's what's going to save those people out there. It's not you walking out there being cute. It's not that you talk so well. It's signs, wonders, and miracles flowing out of you when they talk to you. Years ago, there used to be prophets would go and sit on the street. And just as the people go by, they'd say, come here, God has a word for you. And they prophesied to him, and people would be so in awe that everything they said was true, they would get saved. But I haven't seen that for years. What is the problem with the body of Christ? Why are we not strong enough with the anointing of God that we can see great signs, wonders, and miracles flowing? See, we have to think about this. And you know, I was reading a book this morning, and if you have favor in God's sight, he'll cause you to have favor with everybody you meet. You know, if you're walking close enough with God, and you have favor with God, then everybody you meet, God will make sure you find favor with them. I look back over my life, there is not one job that I ever got that I should have gotten. I didn't know tiddly about the job at all, but I was hired. And when I got my job at the college, they said, we don't know why in the world they ever hired you. You don't know nothing. We had people overly qualified for this job, and they weren't hired. That was the favor of God. And I look back, you know, and not every job I ever had, I should have never had. I wasn't illiterate or anything, but I just, at those points, I didn't have college behind me. Then I got college behind me. After I got the college job, I got college behind me. But still, and I was not qualified. I got a job at the airbase. They had a long list of qualified people. But I went in there and talked to the person. He said, you're hired. On the spot, hired. No qualifications. Favor of God, because God knew I needed a job. Do you have that kind of favor with God? I want you to really think about this. I want you to really think about this. Because we are at a strategic point in our walk with God. Old things have passed away, and the old things is just mundane things going on. The new things are now in place, and the new thing is unusual manifestations of God's glory. Each one of you has been saying, I want the glory, I want the glory, I want the glory, and yet you are not changing so you can carry the glory. I don't know if I told you the interpretation of the third dream I had, where I was in this hospital-like environment, and everything was bright, really bright. And I was sitting there on the bench, and I had a white dress on, and nobody around as usual. That's where the other two dreams were. But this time a woman walked up, and she had a clipboard in her hand. And I got up, and she said, I said, ma'am, and she said, you're just going to have to wait. And so she told me to sit back down, and she went into the room. And I knew she had authority over me. And so whenever I had that, Chris Lynch interprets dreams, he said, what that was is your ministry. And he said, you're wanting the glory to drop. And God said, well, I have to wait a little longer. So he's not ready to drop it yet. Isn't that awesome? So, how much power do you have? You know, as I read these things, and see how God, remember how God said, whatever you want, that's what I'm going to do. What you want to do, I'll do it for you. Do you have enough power and authority in your walk with God that what you can cause God not to do something? Think about that. Do you have enough authority in you that whenever God's told you that person's never going to reach heaven? Never. They've just gone too far. But yet there's just something in you that won't let a person go to hell because you've been to hell and seen what they're going to go through. And so you keep crying out to God, and God said, all right, I give up. They'll be in heaven one day with me. And that's where they landed. But do you have that kind of authority with God where he will relent and he'll take some, instead of somebody's supposed to go to hell, He'll get them saved and take them to heaven. I just want you to think. You don't walk in the love walk the way you're supposed to walk in it, but yet you want all power and authority. You become unteachable because when the leader over you tells you to do something, you just do it your way anyhow. That's unteachable. But yet you want God to move through you. It's never going to work. You have to be an obedient servant. You have to be willing to be the tail and not the head. You have to be willing to allow God to move through you any way he wants to move through you. Are you listening tonight? And you know, instead of you wanting to be the head of everything, you have to understand God's the head of everything. Some people say your church, this is not my church. Don't put that burden on me. This is God's church. He's the one who told me to have it. I didn't ask for it. Never my life wanted it. Just like I was reading today where President Trump didn't want to be president, but it was given to him by God. He didn't ask to be president. God just told him you're going to be president and put him in office. See, this is the way you have to be. You have to be just so, you know, just sold out to God that every prayer, every day you should be praying, God, your will, your way today in my life. Then let him move because you're trying to make him move. All right? We pray for our loved ones. And, you know, we don't see any change, but God is working behind. He always tells me, I'm working behind the scenes. I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. I'm working behind the scene. You just be still and know that I'm God. How many of you know how to be still and know that he's God? You know. Barbara's seeing great signs, wonders, and miracles just through her family. What's going on there? Because she's learned to be still and let God be God instead of trying to make things happen. She learned a valuable lesson. If the Holy Spirit can't change a person, neither can you. All right. Father, I just thank you tonight for your message. And Father God, I know that you have taught this tonight because you want each person that's listened to this to be a vessel of honor that you can do the unusual manifestations through. And I'm asking right now, Father God, as the people are sitting contemplating what they heard, that you just saturate their spirit with this word, Father. Let them understand that they are vessels that you so desire to work through.